Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janavallabha Girivardhari. Jayo Gopi Janavallabha Girivardhari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janavallabha Girivardhari. Jaya Gopi Janavallabha Girivardhari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhava Ki Jai. श्री श्री किशोर किशोर की जय, श्री श्री जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्र देव की जय, श्री श्री गोवर्धनराय की जय, ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय, श्री प्रभुपाद की जय, अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय, गौर प्रणाम। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we are reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 16. Krishna chastises the serpent Kaliya, verse 33 and 34. So you have the 34. So I will start with the 33. Naga Patna Uchu. Nyayo hidanda krita kilbishesmin tava vatara kala nigrahaya ripo sutanam apitulya drishtir dashti damam phalam evanu samsan. Translation. The wives of the Kaliya serpent said, the punishment this offender has been subjected to is certainly just. After all, you have incarnated within this world to curb down envious and cruel persons. You are so impartial that you look equally upon your enemies and your own sons. For when you impose a punishment on the living being, you know it to be for his ultimate benefit. And now verse 34. Anugrahoyam bhavata krituhinu Anugrahoyam bhagavata krituhinu Bandho satam te kalukal masapaham Nandu satam te kalu kalma sapaha. Yadanda sukkatva mamusya dehina. Yadanda sukkatva mamusya dehina. Krodo pite nugraha eva samatha. Krodo pite nugraha eva samatha. Somebody wants to repeat? Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila S. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. What have you done here is actually mercy for us, since the punishment you give to the wicked certainly drives away all their contamination. Indeed, because this conditioned soul, our husband, is so sinful that he has assumed the body of a serpent, your anger toward him is obviously to be understood as your mercy. Purport. Srila Madhvacharya points out in this connection that when a pious person suffers in this world, he realizes the punishment of the Supreme Lord is meting out to me. The punishment the Supreme Lord is meting out to me is actually His causeless mercy. Envious person, however, even after being punished by the Lord for their purification, continue to envy Him and be resentful. And this attitude is the reason for their condition, for their continued failure to understand the Absolute Truth. That's a short purport by Prabhupada, but very essential. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Ganam Janam Shalakaya Chakshurun Miditam Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Inabhutade Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapatantikam Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Guradvishe Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Vanchakalpatarubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhyaivacha, Patitanam Bhavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah, Mukam Karoti Vachalam, Pangum Langayate Girim, Yatripam Tamaham Vande Shiguru Dinataram. So this is an interesting point, prayer from the Nagapatni, the wife of the Naga, the serpent. Something interesting, they are mentioning that their husband has assumed the body of a serpent because he is so sinful. Which, I don't know the story of how Kaliya took that form. Maybe there is, you know, the story behind this, how he became Kaliya. Okay. Good. So this is like it seemed that it's the result of a curse because of his bad mentality. So he got the body of a serpent. The point that they make in these two verses is that the chastisement of Krishna is always good and has to be welcome with gratefulness. First, they say that this punishment is certainly just, because there is no injustice. Injustice is a misconception of the conditioned souls who don't accept Krishna, they say. Something is unjust, but there is not something as injustice. If we understand that Krishna controls everything, sarva karana karanam, no? If he is the cause of all causes, and if he is the embodiment of unlimited love, then how can there be injustice? So that's just a misunderstanding that something can be unjust. Actually, everything is just, and even more than just, everything is very good for everybody at every moment. There is nothing more perfect that could be than what happens. This is our philosophy, Krishna philosophy. This is absolute positivism. There is no place for, how to say, what is the opposite of positivism? Negativity. Some people, sometimes they have this vision. But as they were devotees, they understood that. They say, you are so impartial that you look equally upon your enemies and your own son. For when you impose a punishment on the living being, you know it to be for his ultimate benefit. That means everything Krishna does is for the good of everybody, at every time. And then they explain again. Because the punishment you give to the wicked certainly drives away all their contamination. Your anger toward him is obviously to be understood as your mercy. So for somebody who has a true vision, there exists only one thing, the mercy of Krishna, appearing in different form, but there is nothing else than the mercy of Krishna. That's what Srila Madhvacharya explained, the punishment of the Supreme Lord. No, a pious person understand, I realize the punishment the Supreme Lord is meting out to me is actually his causeless mercy. And Prabhupada explained that those who are envious, actually, they cannot accept the difficulty, the punishment by Krishna. And they continue to envy him and be resentful. This is why they are in the... And this attitude is the reason for the continued failure to understand the absolute truth. More or less, if you accept anything as the mercy of Krishna, then you are a devotee or a pious person. And if you don't, then you are an envious person. Envious and resentful person, and you will fail to understand the absolute truth, and you will suffer because this is your choice. No? But a devotee is living in full bliss, full happiness, because he accepts everything is the mercy of Krishna. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in Sharanagati, Atmanivedana, means full surrender. He writes, my dear Lord, since I took completely shelter at your lotus feet, I can see only bliss coming to me from the 10 different directions. Wherever I look, I see only bliss coming to me. Because this is the vision of a devotee. He accepts everything as being the mercy of Krishna. No? So simple. This devotional service is so simple. The formula is so simple. Just accept everything as being the mercy of Krishna and you will live in bliss. Bhaktivinoda Thakur message. No? Why we don't want to do that? It's so simple, no? But so many times we don't feel flooded by unlimited bliss. Why? Because we can't accept, no? We can't accept that everything is the mercy of Krishna. And we remain, as Prabhupada say, envious and resentful. Why this is happening like that? So, we are doomed to fail. That we cannot understand Krishna. And we suffer. Suffer means we cannot experience the bliss we are meant for. Because the soul is meant to live in unlimited bliss. And because of that, unless we experience that unlimited bliss, we won't be satisfied. Because this is what we are meant for, no? If we experience one drop of bliss, we won't be satisfied. We want unlimited ocean of happiness, no? This is the nature of the soul. And this is the nature of Krishna. Ananda Mayogyasat. We are made to experience Ananda. Ananda means bliss, and it means also love. It means love, because bliss is experience through love. So actually accepting everything as Krishna's mercy, this is love. This is an aspect of love. That's what we have to develop in our life. That's what we have misunderstood. And the Bhagavatam came to tell us in such a sweet way, please consider, this is your problem. The disease in the heart that we have, we cannot accept Krishna. Once Prabhupada said that one devotee told him, Prabhupada, I have this problem and also this problem and this problem. And this problem. And Prabhupada said, no, you have only one problem. You cannot accept Krishna. That's your only problem. If you can accept Krishna, then all your other problems, they will be finished. No? We should have a faith in this. And then our daily practice is that we have to leave that in all the details of the 24 hours of each and every day. That everything is the mercy of Krishna. And we should not be unsatisfied and we should not become angry. We have to always welcome very kindly whatever Krishna is sending to us as mercy. Then we will feel Krishna's mercy. No? We will feel, wow, this is Krishna's mercy. And when you feel Krishna, you become blissful, because Krishna is bliss by definition. No? Krishna. Krish means unlimitedly attracting or all attracting. And Na means Ananda, the source of unlimited bliss and love. So when Krishna is here, you experience love, and you experience bliss by nature. It's like the sun, no? The sun is the source of light and heat. So if you are in the sunshine, you have to experience light. It's not possible to see the sun and not to experience light. No? If you see the sun, then you experience light, and then you experience heat. In the same way, if you see Krishna, if we perceive Krishna, then we experience bliss and we experience love. That's the natural consequence, because Krishna is that. So they are happy. They are happy that their husband has become chastised like this, and they are actually very grateful that Krishna did that. So that's another aspect. We have to be grateful, not only accept, but we have to be grateful of everything that's happening to us. Even something that we don't like, we have to be grateful. It's a work in the heart that we have to do. No? I remember when I was young, for some time I lived in some Sufi community in Africa. You know, Sufi, they are the mystic Muslims. And that community was the community of the Murid. And they had one very beautiful practice, which was that whatever would happen, which was painful or difficult, they would say, "Oh, thank you very much." When they would eat themselves like this, you know, sometimes we'd eat ourselves, or you cut your finger, or you something bad happened, their spontaneous answer was, "Oh, thank you very much." And I like that. And actually, we can also practice this as devotees, to be grateful to whatever Krishna says. No? And you come to the prasadam and there is no more prasadam. No? And you say, "Oh, thank you so much, Krishna." And then you live in bliss. This is the formula. But if we say, "Oh, why there is no more prasadam? Why they left nothing for me?" Then we will be frustrated. No? So simple. As Prabhupada would say, so simple, yet so sublime. The formula of devotion. So gratefulness, and they are grateful, okay. You came, and now maybe you will kill our husband very soon, and in front of our eyes, but that's great. Thank you so much. You're doing that so nicely, so beautifully. Please go on. We feel very blessed by your action. No? Who in this world would thank that person who came to kill her husband? But bhakti is like that. Aslifya vapadartam pinashtumam adarshanam marmato karutuba. Sid Mahaprabhu explaining, no? This feeling is coming from Radha, because she is the origin of bhakti and love for. So that feeling, which is here expressed in pure yet lesser intensity, we could say. Because the wife of Kaliya, they are also pure devotees, but they are not on the level, same level of intensity. But the feeling is very similar. Aslisya vapadaratam. Either Krishna embraces me, this is Ashlisya, or Alingana. No? Either Krishna takes me in his arm and embraces me, va padaratam pinashtumam, if Krishna tramples me with his feet. And even Adarshanam, if he doesn't show himself to me. Adarshanam means we come and we see the deities. No? Darshanam means seeing. And Adarshanam means not seeing. Adarshanam marma hato karutuva. If by not being visible to me, he would break my heart. Because for Radharani, when she cannot see Krishna, her heart becomes completely broken. Yet she says, Asli sava padartham pinashanam, adarshanam marmata karutu va yatatata vabhidada. Whatever he likes to do, let him do. Tu lampato means lampato, he acts by his own will. Whatever he is free, Krishna is free. You can tell him whatever you want, but he, ultimately, he doesn't mind. He's Rampatu. Mat prananatas tu saibhata padaha. I don't mind, still, I am so grateful to him. I consider him as my worshiper, the Lord of my life. So when Krishna came to Kurukshetra, and he met, you know, the inhabitants of Braj after so long time of separation. That was a very intense moment, no? Very intense moment. Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra, they can tell you how intense is that moment. Because they remain stunned from that day. They still have the same form today, no? That's so intense that they cannot remove themselves from that. It's like if the universe stopped and Jagannath Baladev Subhadra became stunned and their limbs entered into their body, no? And their eyes you say, up and up. And still up to today, they're keeping this form, no? So very intense moment of two feelings at the same time that creates this kind of electroshock, these two feelings. You know, when electricity works by positive and negative, you have one wire, which is positive, and one wire, which is negative. As long as they don't touch, no problem. But when they touch, there is a big clash. Because one is very negative, and the other very positive. No? So there is a contrary power in each of them. And then when they touch, that contrast creates a shock. Electroshock. So the same way, when Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra, they met the inhabitants of Vrindavan, there was some electroshock, spiritual electroshock. No? Spiritual electroshock, because two feelings have manifested at the same time in their heart. First feeling is the feeling of meeting somebody that you love. So it's a great joy, no? When you meet somebody that you love, it is a great joy. But their level of love is so intense, so that this love is also very intense, as we were saying yesterday. They love Krishna Balaram, they love the inhabitants of Raj more than their own life. Even million times more than their own life. So when you meet somebody whom you love more than even your own life, you become extremely happy. No? Krishna said to Uddhava, not even Brahma, not even Shiva, not even the goddess of fortune, my eternal wife, embodiment of pleasure-giving potency, not even my own brother, are as dear to me, Uddhava, as you are dear to me. And then he said, actually, not even my own self, na atma. That is Krishna, Krishna's love. We have to understand Krishna. Then we can accept him. If we understand him, then we can accept all details as being his mercy. But if we misunderstand him, it will be difficult. And when we understand that Krishna is full love, unlimited love, and that this person putting us into difficulty actually loves us more than he loves himself, then it becomes beautiful. So Krishna said to Uddhava, actually, you are more dear to me than even my own self, than my brother, than my wife, and than my two best servants in this material world, Brahma and Shiva. This is how you are dear to me. Very beautiful declaration of love from Krishna to Uddhava in the Sakya Ras, no? Very close friendship. Uddhava is so close to Krishna that sometimes he just falls asleep, his head on Krishna's lap. Because he's serving Krishna with so much tirelessness that he forgets to sleep. So sometimes he just falls asleep and his head just lands on Krishna's lap. And Krishna fears to move. He doesn't want to awaken Uddhava, so Krishna stays like this. In order to not disturb Uddhava, Krishna stays. And he waits when Uddhava will awake. So that is Krishna. So Uddhava is so dear to me. And what to say of the inhabitants of Raj? They are 1,000,000 times dearer to him than in his own life. Krishna said, Vedyatamam Rapadyante Tamstateva Bhajamyaham. Because they love him with such a love, he can't but love them with that same love. No? This is Krishna's dynamic. How much you love him, that much he can't but love you. Is it correct? Yeah. Sometimes grammar is difficult, but you understand. That's, in one sense, this is, once Satchinanda Maharaj said, this is Krishna's weakness. And then he said, no, sorry, this is his strength. Because in one sense, that's his strength. So, the heart of Krishna is made like that. He cannot be otherwise. So, because the inhabitants of Raj, why they are so glorious? They are so glorious because they have the highest intensity of love for Krishna. They are ready to die every second for Krishna. You know, when Sanatana Goswami, he had this plan to suicide by jumping under the wheels of the rat of Jagannath, because he felt himself too much fallen. Out of humility, he decided, I should end up my life, because he could not support that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would embrace him, because he was feeling, I am so fallen, and on top of that, he had this disease, you know. which developed on his body while crossing the Jariganda forest. And he had so many, how we call this, sores, and with oozing pus. So very contaminated externally the body. But as he himself wrote, we should not think that the body of a Vaishnava is contaminated, even if there is some external disease in his body, like the water of the Ganges, there is also mud and foam, but it's still pure. So we should consider the body of a pure devotee always pure. But Rupa Goswami doesn't think that he is a pure devotee, so he cannot apply this verse to himself. So he was thinking he is impure. But Mahaprabhu would not see him in that way. Mahaprabhu would consider that if he can embrace Rupa Goswami, he will become purified. That's the mood of Mahaprabhu. That's what he said to Sanatan Goswami, no? When Sanatan Goswami came to Benares, he was also very dusty. I could not say dirty, but dusty, covered with dust of a long travel in the jungle, you know, taking baths in the water, which is not always pure, crystal clear. If you take baths in some jungle water, which is sometimes brown, like with muddy water, then your body will become also a little bit dusty and muddy with the time. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't mind. He took Sanatana Goswami in his arms, and then he started to remove the dust from Sanatana Goswami's body. And Sanatana said, "Prabhu, please don't do that." He felt so awkward. Krishna, with his divine hand, was rubbing his body. As we say, a devotee also rubbing the body of the Lord with some ointment. Also, Krishna likes to do. So when Krishna has the opportunity, he also takes that opportunity. So he started to remove the dust from Sanatana's body. And Sanatana Goswami told him, "No, Prabhu, please don't touch me. I feel awkward if you do that." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, "No, please allow me to continue, because touching your body is the perfection of touch. And by doing so, I become purified. So please allow me to continue." This Mahaprabhu. Same mood like Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. Mahaprabhu also have the same mood. As we say, we have a saying, I think you have also that saying, such a father, such a son. No? This saying exists? So we can say, such a Lord, such a devotee. Because Krishna is like this, the devotees, they become like this also. So Rupa Goswami had decided, okay, in order to avoid being embraced by Mahaprabhu and feeling awkward like this, I will suicide myself by jumping under the wheel of the chariot of Jagannath. Because the Shastra says that if you give up your life under the wheel of the chariot of Jagannath, then you'll go back to the spiritual world directly. So he decided, okay, I will do that. And then Mahaprabhu came to see Sanatana Goswami and said, "Hey, Sanatana, may I ask you a question?" Sanatana Goswami said, "Yes, Prabhu." And he said, "Didn't you surrender your life to Krishna? Didn't you give your entire life to Krishna?" Sanatana Goswami said, "Yes." And then Mahaprabhu told him, "So, you have to know it's not good to destroy the property of others. You understand? If you have given your life and your body to Krishna and then you want to destroy that body, it doesn't belong to you anymore. So you have no right to destroy it because you already gave it. So you cannot destroy the property of someone else. That's not correct. And then Mahaprabhu told him, if by suiciding one could attain Krishna, you can be sure I would already have committed suicide 1 million times every second. This is the intensity of Krishna's love. Ready to die 1 million times every second. This is the intensity of the love of Vraj. So, like that, that same intensity Krishna had in his heart. When he saw the inhabitants of Vrindavan after such a long time, unlimited happiness came to his heart. Again, he could see his best friends, his parents, beloved parents, and his most beloved girlfriends, Radhita, Vishaka, Radha, Indulika, Champakarata, Rangadevi, Tungavidya, Sudevi. Again, he could see them. And then, during the night, because he could not meet the gopi, you know, directly during the day. So during the day, first he met Nanda, Yashoda, and his friends. And then during the night, he went to meet for the gopis, Radha, and all the other gopis. That was a little bit behind the camp because they were like camping. No? Krishna also doing camping. That's why conditions, so they also like to do camping. And it was a little behind in a very particular place. I forget the name of this place. And Krishna came forward to Radharani and he said, I have to apologize because actually that was not good how I abandoned all of you. And Radha, she said, you apologize? For what? You did nothing wrong. What you did was perfect. You just abandoned us and we were just needing to die every second since you abandoned us, but that was good because that's who you are. No? That's your right to do that. The shame is on us. She said, the shame is on us. Krishna wanted to touch her feet, so in order to beg forgiveness. So he stepped forward and tried to touch her feet, but she stepped back and she said, why? There is no need, because you didn't commit any offense. No, there is no mistake from your part. This is the right of who you are. The mistake is from our part, because even though you abandoned us such a long time, we are still living. This is a shame. We are very ashamed because of that. No? That Aslisyava Padaritam Pinashtunam Adarshanam Marmarita Karutuva. They cannot be ungrateful. Always everything Krishna does is perfect. This is the mood of Radhani that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expressed in this Shikshastakam. No? Accepting everything, embracing everything as Krishna's grace. Even if we will break our heart. Marmahatam. Even if Krishna would just smash our very life, you know, grind our very life, you know, like that. Still, we have to be grateful. Thank you so much. Aslisyava padaritam. Even if you break my heart, you say, there is no problem. You are right. this is your right, this is your position. The shame is on me. So this is what we have to understand and how we have to live by. This is Atmani Vedanam. Of course, sometimes they do chastise Krishna. Sometimes Radharani, she is not happy with him and she is chastising him. But that's another move. That's on the level of Rasa. She's doing that for his pleasure. But in her heart, she never feels unsatisfied by Krishna's behavior. She just does this out of ecstasy, different kind of ecstasy. That's on a higher level. Different kinds of ecstasy manifest, and she may forget that mood, but still it's there, always underlying. It's always there. So she can never really be angry toward Krishna, even though sometimes she becomes angry toward him. Because it is said, actually, as soon as she becomes angry toward him, she regrets also. Oh, what did I say? No, she regrets. So like that, this very beautiful point, actually, Sava Padartam Pinashtumam Adarshanam Almata Karutuva Yata Tata Vavidada. Whatever you want to do, do it. I accept. Mat Prananatas. Whatever you do, you remain the Lord, the beloved of my heart. Na Paraha. And there is nobody else. And we have to become unflinching in that. No? Haituki apratihata. Apratihata means that mood should become unflinching. Then the ayatma suprasidati, we can experience the continuous bliss of the soul. That is the one aspect of pure love for Krishna. To embrace everything as his grace. So, this is what Prabhupada came to explain to us. The time is 8:30. I have to finish the class at 8:30, I have been there. So, thank you very much, dear devotees. If somebody has some question, you're welcome. I will try my best to answer if I can.
Thank you so much, Asad Dulal Prabhu. It's 2 days of beautiful classes, so we're grateful for that. I was thinking on both classes highlighting the character of the wife of Kaliya, the Nagapatnis, and this particular topic that you presented in today's class in terms of accepting the circumstances, even if they are terrible circumstances, and embrace it and even be grateful about it, understanding that it's Krishna's mercy. They demonstrated that, in one sense, through their circumstance of being married to such a terrible character as Kaliya, the embodiment of, it will say that it was an embodiment of envy, deceit, and cruelty. Mm. And then they are there, as his wife, or their wives, they're the wives of this character, and they still remain always as their well-wishers. So, and the fact that they didn't show any resentment towards Kaliya, even at the end, because, it's almost as if Krishna is killing this hideous individual, they can be relieved, or we're going to be free from being with this person, great. But no, they still remain as a well-wisher towards Kaliya. So the question I have in regard is, when we have to be put in circumstances in which we have to deal with an individual that is causing us some disturbance, and obviously we're trying to cultivate towards, you know, to understand Krishna's mercy, and it's easier in one sense when we deal with, you know, the neophyte. One of the qualities of the neophyte, or the characteristic of the neophyte devotee, is that you see the deity and you see Srila Prabhupada, you know, it's clear to us, but not the devotees. We don't, you know, in the level of the devotees, we don't understand, we can't make proper discrimination. Mm-hmm. So we see the situations of devotees, you know, becoming very angry at each other on the plea of you are breaking or you're doing something against what we understand is Prabhupada's wishes, or, you know, this is the deities. And then there is this frustration, as you said, you know, that the feeling of frustration, we're not able to see that Krishna has, he's in control. And there is something to that, you know, is beneficial for the whole world, everybody. So, the condition that most of us have, you know, in a very, when we are recognized with, you know, this material body, we have desire, we're dealing with those things, is that we can see, we can make proper discrimination. So how can you cultivate this mood, or how can you improve or help situations in which, you know, we see, either we find ourselves and we see others, you know, very frustrated at each other because of different ways of processing or going through in the devotional life.
I will say that the answer to your question is in your question. You have to understand, even though the spontaneous reaction of the ego may be frustration and anger, we have to not respond to that, to detach ourselves from that. And we have to always keep in mind that maybe I'm not right. In life, we have always to keep in mind that maybe what I think is not best vision. We should not think that I know, I'm sure, because always there can be some higher vision, higher understanding. So if somebody is not agreeing with us, first thing we have to consider with a natural way what this person is saying and why he's saying that. And then we can discuss with this person, why are you saying this? Instead of reacting. Because if we react, that means, no, I know what is good and you don't know. But we have to understand, maybe that person knows and we don't know actually. Maybe he has deeper understanding than us. Maybe not. But that consideration should always be there. We should not be like, impulsive. There will be always a difference of agreement, disagreement in this world, because we are all different. And even in the spiritual world, they have disagreement. They don't see all Krishna in the same way. But Vaishnava understand that there is diversity, and so other person, they may even understand Prabhupada's teaching in a different way that I understand them, or they may give preference to some aspects of Prabhupada's preaching, and I may give preference to some other aspect of Prabhupada preaching. Prabhupada explained to us many things which are contradictory in some aspects. And some will say, oh, for the sake of this, that it's better to follow that aspect of Krishna's, of Prabhupada's instruction, and this let it at the secondary. And another person will say, no, I think this is primary and this is secondary. Then we have to discuss about that. Because if the other person is a devotee, he has also understanding, he has some knowledge. So we have to consider and discuss. Instead of becoming angry, we should say, okay, I don't understand this exactly in the same way as you do. Maybe we could try to discuss about it. Prabhupada said when two Vaishnavas, they disagree, they sit together and then they speak. They don't fight. They sit together and they speak. Not with a desire to prove that I am right, but with the desire to find out what is the highest vision and truth between the two of us. Vaishnavi is okay to be defeated for the sake of something better, you know. If somebody can prove to us that what we were thinking is right, is actually could be better, we have to be happy of that. So we have always to be ready to improve ourselves. Okay, this person. And if something it's obvious, and we see somebody doing a mistake which is obvious, then we need compassion and kindness even to express it to the person. This, you know, that is not really correct. We can see this a lot on the altar when we work with the others on the altar. It's not everybody has same level of worshipping the deities, same understanding of the perfection of. And sometimes we see some devotees doing some things and we don't like that. But we have to be kind and express it in a kind way. Kindness is a prerogative in Vaishnava life. We cannot become harsh. So like this. Vaishnava is this. You lost your pen. You know you have a beautiful pen, very precious pen. This we call Mont Blanc, you know Mont Blanc? This one. Some pen, very expensive pen. So normally devotee we don't have that, but just imagine. And then somebody stole it to you. And then you find out this other devotee, he has now your pen here in his pocket. So there is two ways. One, first you will tell him, you are a thief, you stole my pen. No? But a Vaishnava is not doing like this. A Vaishnava will say, Prabhu, it seems that the pen I lost has now come to your pocket somehow or other. Maybe you would be able to give it back to me. I think you don't know how it came there. It came, but it happens that this is my pen. So I'm sure you didn't steal it to me, but it ended up there. Maybe you can give back to me. So that's the way of saying the things. And even if he stole it, that will be even more powerful on him, you know, than to accuse him, because if you accuse him, he will defend himself by the nature of the ego. And he will say, no, it's not true, I didn't steal it. But if you say in such a way, the only thing he can do is to give it back to you. No? Or if he's a very envious person, he will agree, but at least you have started the good discussion. So this is part of Vaishnava, what we call sadachar, or behavior, comportment. We have to be always sweet, kind, humble, like this. And every time something like this happens, even if it's wrong, and if we are right, we have to understand Krishna is coming to test us, to see how we are reacting. Because ultimately, wrong and right is one thing, but Krishna wants to see beyond this wrong and right, how we react when we are attacked, for example. You know, like when Balabhacharya made some little critique about the writing of Rupa Goswami, and Jiva Goswami became very angry. And he said to Balabhacharya, I don't think you have the position to speak like this about to see even one fault in the writing of Rupa Goswami. But Rupa Goswami was not happy with Jiva Goswami's reaction. And he told to Jiva Goswami, I think, my dear Jiva, that you took the renounce order of life a little bit too early. Because if somebody is prone to anger, he cannot live in Vrindavan. So you better leave Vrindavan and go to live somewhere else, where it's not the dam. This place is too high for you. In that way, with these words, he just banned Jiva Goswami out of Vrindavan. You know that story. And then Jiva Goswami went to Mathura on the bank of the Yamuna and started to live in that hole. Satan Goswami saw him and he took pity on him and he went to Rupa Goswami. But that's the point. Jiva Goswami was not wrong, he was right. Balabhacharya should not have said this to Rupa Goswami. But Rupa Goswami didn't like the way that Jiva Goswami reacted. So in order to teach us, he said that what is wrong is that you became angry. And for a renunciate like you, becoming angry is not accepted. So he said, maybe you took the order of renunciation a little bit too early. You should have curbed first your anger. So that was a mistake. Now you can return to your previous life. This place is not for you. So that's an interesting teaching of behavior. This is one aspect of an answer, we can say. There will be always some disagreement and clash between devotees and opinions and all this. And it's good, for example, if you are pujari or doing this service, and we would like also some another pujari to improve. It's good. We have the right to challenge each other, to rectify each other, but always should be in a kind way. And like this also we protect ourselves from committing offenses. We always, because even that devotee may do that offense, still he is a devotee. And he's dear to Krishna, so we don't want to hurt Krishna's heart also. Krishna may not appreciate how we did with his devotee. And we see the fault that this devotee is doing right now, but we don't see all the rest of the life of this devotee. We don't see what is in the heart really of this devotee. But Krishna sees. So we should always consider. Radhanath Maharaj said once, he said that when you see somebody failing in doing something, before judging him, you should consider that if you had met the same difficulty in life that this person met, if you had fallen at the same moment that this person fell in the past, and if you had stood up again, thereafter, like this person stood up. Maybe right now, if you would be placed in the same situation as this person, you would just do exactly the same thing that he is doing. So that we call this putting oneself in the shoes of somebody else. You have this expression? In French we say that. So Vaishnav, we have to always put ourselves in the shoes of others, like a preacher, if he wants to speak in the appropriate way to his audience, he has to understand what kind of audience is there and how they will receive that. And it's in the same way. Okay, this devotee is doing this mistake, but there are some reasons, obviously, for that. So we try kindly to explain. And if the person doesn't react nicely, then we try to ask somebody else who could help to harmonize this. Like, if somebody doesn't want to listen to you, even though you're trying to be kind, then don't continue uselessly to try to speak to that person, but find somebody whom that person can accept and ask to this person to help in that relationship. This is the smooth way. If we do like that, then temple relationship will become nice. No? Okay, is it satisfying? I try to see it different. Of course, we could continue. Okay? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.